What happens to economic policy now that it will no longer be Republicans running everything in Washington? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Yes, for the next 2 years, it'll be what is called divided government. Data show the election was in part a referendum on President Trump, and his theme of immigration was a number two concern among voters surveyed. But tops was health care. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has more on that from our Washington Bureau.
26% of voters say health care was the most important issue for them in deciding their vote, according to the Associated Press. Emily Eakins of the Cato Institute says a lot of that comes down to financial concerns. I spoke with her via Skype.
A lot of people's premiums have been going up, and that makes them unhappy. But a lot of people are concerned about what we do about pre-existing conditions.
Many voters worried that if protections for people with pre-existing conditions are rolled back, health insurance will be unaffordable for some. According to the AP, 3 out of 4 voters who listed health care as their top issue voted for Democrats. Now, with Democrats in control of the House, the discussion around health care in Washington is likely to change.
The main attempt to repeal the Medicaid expansion, to repeal the subsidies for people for private health insurance, those I think are pretty much off the table.
John McDonough is a public health professor at Harvard. He says the Trump administration is likely to continue chipping away at the Affordable Care Act, but McDonough says it's worth noting some of the state-level action on health care in the election.
There were 3 states, Nebraska, Utah and Idaho, where voters had ballot initiatives to expand their Medicaid program. The voters said, let's expand Medicaid.
McDonough expects other states to follow suit, especially those that elected Democratic governors last night. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Here's Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors. Hi there.
Good morning.
So market participants were also up all night watching the results pour in. Are you seeing some of the results expressing themselves in some of these prices this morning?
I think we are. I think now that the election is behind us, it did fall largely as was anticipated. I think this is a great setup. The market likes it when the government can't really get a whole lot done and there is some conflict and difference in power between the House and the Senate.
This notion that gridlock, where the House and Senate are at loggerheads, so big pieces of legislation can't get through, somehow cheers up market participants. Why?
It does, because I think market participants are generally skeptical of government intervention. Remember that they are ultimately capitalists. And so they like to know that business can go on as usual without having some sort of government event come in and disrupt the normal course of capitalism. This is going to be perceived as a good environment because we've had the best things that the government can offer. We've seen tax cuts. We've seen a reduction in regulations. All those very positive for business. And right now, there'll be gridlock to prevent any of the bad stuff trickling through.
Of course, from the perspective of market participants, that is how I framed the question. Not necessarily from the perspective of actual human beings who live in this society.
Exactly. Very different. But from the market perspective, those capitalist tendencies are coming to the forefront.
Susan Schmidt, who's head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors, thank you.
Thank you.
As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace is able to do what we do every day thanks to funding from public radio stations, foundations, corporate underwriters, and listeners like you. Thank you to all the Marketplace investors who've contributed over the last year for helping keep public service journalism strong. All of us really appreciate your support.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Different sectors of business are assessing what the House and Senate controlled by 2 different parties might do to economic policy and regulation. Marketplace's Scott Tong is on the line from our Washington Bureau. Will these R's and D's work together on anything, Scott?
Well, perhaps with infrastructure. That's a place, actually, where the government spending can help capitalists. This is something the president has been talking about for a couple of years now, and leaders from both parties have talked it up in the course of the campaign. Here's Brian Palish of the American Society of Civil Engineers, which supports new investment in roads and ports, etc.
The president and the vice president made it pretty clear that they would be willing to work on infrastructure. And I think last night, as you saw Nancy Pelosi in her speech, you saw her say right out of the gate that infrastructure was something they looked forward to working on.
And there's the tech industry, which has supported federal legislation on data privacy. So they want a federal fix instead of the rules about to happen in California. And this big issue of protecting our data has broad support from the public and from both parties, David.
Okay, but I got to ask about trade, tariffs, trade war. We have import taxes set to go up again this January.
Well, yes. So a lack of consensus in Congress could mean the current dynamics continue, which means more tariffs on imported steel, imported Chinese goods. So if you're a U.S. factory buying this stuff, what are you going to do? And that's a big question raised by Howard Gluckman. He's senior fellow at the Urban Institute think tank.
What's going to happen to big manufacturers who caught up in the whole tariff mess decide to move capacity overseas?
And finally, gridlock makes it a little harder for Republicans to enact another tax cut, David.
Marketplace's Scott Tong in D.C. Thanks. And run-ins with the law are not disqualifying. A congressman under criminal indictment got reelected. Southern California Republican Duncan Hunter allegedly misused $250,000 in campaign funds. And Republican Congressman Chris Collins of Buffalo, New York, under indictment for alleged insider trading, appears headed for victory, although it's close. Close enough that his opponent has called for a recount. In New Jersey, voters reelected Democratic Senator Robert Menendez by a wide margin. His federal corruption case ended in a mistrial. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.